Eve Thomas, CEO, Safe Consultancy. I want to share with you my journey through the criminal justice system. Part 1. The last 4 years have been the toughest of my life. On the 1st of November 2010, I escaped over 21 years of domestic violence, abuse and grooming. It was horrific, and I am very thankful that today I can stand on my own 2 feet, literally. This is not drama, it is the truth. 2010 marked the start of a new journey for my girls and I, and as we fled to the police station, bursting through the doors crying for help, I knew I was safe. The police had promised me. I was one of the lucky ones. PC Nathan Spinks had empathy and understanding. His patience whilst he interviewed and took statements was amazing. And by the time we left the police station, an application for anti-molestation and occupation orders was underway. And he had ensured that we were as safe as could be. The domestic violence officer assigned to my case, I will remember for the rest of my life. Her patience and understanding as she worked with myself and one of my girls in a hope that she too would provide a statement. Her warm smile when she came to visit and her gentle words of encouragement are forever embedded in my mind. PC Laura Downs is one in a million. My first entry into the criminal justice system was positive and as safe as could be. And had it continued that way, I would not be recording this message today or campaigning as passionately for safe as I do. It began with the very first court case, an application for an anti-molestation order. This process is petrifying. Just 2 weeks after you have escaped, you have to go to the family civil courts to have your anti-molestation order rubber stamped. Your abuser is served notice. Now, it is okay, solicitors saying, don't worry, he won't turn up, they never do. But let me tell you something, they do turn up. I mean, come on, let's be honest, what committed domestic violence abuser could resist the opportunity to have their victim in a small room, that final chance before they are bound by the order to glare at you and stick the knife of intimidation in even further? The anti-molestation order was broken several times. I reported it. I had to stay strong. I thought the criminal justice system would protect me. That wasn't the end. Just a few months later, I appeared at the magistrate's courts to give evidence and was greeted by people I had never met before and my victim support worker and Laura. I was terrified when a police officer told me that the alarm that they had installed in my home, an alarm that had been triggered twice, was to be removed the following day after the court case. And that I was okay, wasn't I, with giving evidence with no screens. No, I was not. I burst into tears and said I wanted to go home. I couldn't face him, have his eyes upon me. The police and witness support rushed around, and I'm thankful to say that I gave evidence behind large blue screens with Laura by my side. I could hear him, sense him in the courtroom. And when I began to give my evidence and he started to cough loudly and laughed, I gripped the sides of the stand even harder. I was so scared. He was found guilty of battery and I got a 2-year restraining order and went home back to my bedroom, spending my nights wide awake, my days too, with only the odd hour here and there sleeping. The police alarm was removed as promised the day after the trial. I was broken mentally, physically and emotionally. I don't know what happened to change the course of my life, but I knew I couldn't carry on the way I was living. I had had enough. For years I had been silent and let violence and abuse overtake me and my life and my children's lives. It was time to fight back. Time to take back control and find me again. He didn't like that. Abusers don't. And so he breached the restraining order again and again. And in 2013, I was awarded my second restraining order. That is when the problems really began. Last year, I found myself once again in the family civil courts, this time in what they call an unrelated matter. It was never unrelated. It was my abuser's way of continuing his campaign of terror and harassment against me. He used another to aid him, and despite lengthy statements of disclosure, things I never wanted to talk about but revealed in a bid to make the courts understand the danger that they were putting me in, I was held in contempt of court for withholding my safe address. My destination, Her Majesty's Prison, Stile. I will never forget looking Mr. Monaghan at Bolton Civil Court in the eyes. You don't know what that man did to me. He set me on fire. I was crying, frightened, deeply afraid. His reply deepening that fear even more. Shut up and get back in the room. I offered alternatives, the details in a sealed envelope to be held on file. If I defaulted against the debt, that I have to add I did not owe, then the envelope could be given to the other side. That should have proved to the judge that I would pay. My safe address is everything, and I was willing to go to prison to protect that. They had me cornered, they had my address, they knew where I lived. Why did the courts want my safe address? The only place I truly felt safe. A house I do not own, holds none of my possessions except an overnight bag. It didn't make sense to me, and I knew I had to speak out. It had been going on for over 8 months. I was alone and going to prison for wanting to be safe. What would happen to my girls? Part 2 to follow.